Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. All MPs have been instructed to write to the palace with their choice of prime minister by 4 p.m. tomorrow. Now, this comes following the Yang di-Pertuan Agong's meeting with party leaders. Today, present at that meeting, we had UMNO President Zahid Hamidi, PKR President Anwar Ibrahim, past Deputy President Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, Amanah President Mat Sabu, DAP Sekjen Lim Guan Eng, Bersatu Sekjen Hamzah Zainuddin, and representatives from GPS and Warisan, as well as Pejuang President Mukhris Mahathir, who joins us on the show now. Mukhris, good evening. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I'm just wondering, what can you share with us as to what transpired in the meeting with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong today, and in particular, what your contribution to the conversation was?
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me to speak. As you can imagine, since we were in the presence of both the Yang di-Pertuan Agong and the Sultan of Perak, who is also the deputy Yang di-Pertuan Agong. So the meeting was absolutely cordial. And despite leaders from various parties attending. So the basic point of the meeting was to try and achieve some form of semblance of some solution, a political solution, that can stand the test of time, that can be sustainable and accepted by a majority of MPs particularly. And we feel that this is absolutely important at this juncture, because I think for far too long now, we've not been able to really have a full grip on the mitigation exercises to handle COVID and its impact on the economy.
My Chris, contribution can I ask, sorry, to...
Yes.
Sorry, please carry on, please.
Well, to answer the second question, when it came the time for me to speak, I mentioned that if the politics is not... we're not able to resolve it, then we should look into the formation of a National Recovery Council, or the Majlis Pemulihan Negara, we call it MPN for short, which would be mandated to address the issue of COVID and the economy, whilst action is being taken to find some form of resolution politically.
Mukhris, at any point did His Majesty or the Deputy Agong ask Parliament, political party leaders for their numbers? Was there any discussion of who was likely to command the majority and confidence of the House?
No. I think the conversation was more in generalities of what both Tuankus hoped to see coming out from Parliament or from among MPs.
Right.
Both Tuankus hoped also that among us we will find some form of a formula that can be sustainable and not challenged. So we hope we'll be able to do that.
So I hear you, Mukhris, when you say that Pejuang is maintaining its stand for the formation of the National Recovery Council. But is Pejuang united in proposing a PM candidate?
We have a name in mind. I'm not able to disclose that for now. But as you can imagine, since we originally came from Pakatan Harapan, we hope that the mandate given to PH in the last general elections can be restored. So this is our position on the matter.
Mukris, Shafi Abdal from Warisan has already pointed out that in his understanding with Anwar Ibrahim about the position of PMship, that together collectively, along with Pujong, they represent 105 MPs. Now, this is not enough to get them over the bar. And in fact, even if they did go over the bar at 111, it'd still be a fairly unstable government. What are your thoughts about a much more, you know, any strategy to be more inclusive, to bring in other other political parties in order to strengthen the numbers of a Pakatan Harapan coalition 2.0, as it were?
On the onset, I should say that a simple majority is only unstable if the practice of party hopping continues or is allowed to happen. We all know that we do not have an anti-hopping law, but I think it is that practice on its own that creates this uncertainty about whether a government can remain in power and whether it is subjected to threats if a certain group feels that its demands have not been met. So even if we have 111, but that 111 is solid, no one from among them feels the urge to jump, then we should be okay. So we are hoping that that can be achieved. It's not going to be too easy, but I can understand that. It is still within the right of an MP to move if he thinks that he has some valid reason to do so. But at the same time, the sense I get from that meeting just now was that we were all trying to find some solution that will last until the next general elections.
Can I ask you, is there enough time? Because this call for MPs to name their preferred candidate, the deadline's tomorrow at 4 p.m. It's less than 24 hours from now. Is that enough time for political parties to do the kind of negotiating that they need to do in order to come up with a viable coalition?
I think by now we all know where everyone stands. I think I can use the term horse trading, because that's what people have been saying, has been going on for a bit of time now. So by now, each party would know from where they can get the extra points. So as you mentioned just now, there's 105. We would need, it'll be nice if we could have an extra 10 to put it at 115. But where is this extra 10 coming from? So that's key. Everyone's going after what little votes they can get. And eventually the one with the majority will stand a chance of becoming prime minister and forming government.
Can I ask you to comment on the public reaction to the call by the palace to have MPs submit in writing their preferred choice for a prime minister and to keep it secret? And there's been a lot of reaction as to why not have that, made open and transparent in parliament. I'm wondering whether there's been a little bit of a misplaced anger here. How would you address the public concerns?
I'm very, very sure. I'm very certain that Istana Negara will conduct the counting in a transparent manner. In that, whoever enjoys the most numbers, others will be able to verify that. So there will not be any issue about whether the numbers are real or not. Secondly, whoever is picked from that whole process will have to seek a vote of confidence in Parliament. So if it's not a real number, we will know for sure the next time Parliament sits.
Mukesh, what happens if there is no majority? Considering there isn't a slate as such of candidates from which to choose from, it could be any number of people. And if no one person has an absolute majority, what happens next?
Well, as you know, the Federal Constitution in Article 43, 2A, clearly states that the Yang Dipertuan Agong shall first appoint a PM to preside over the cabinet, a member of the House of Representatives, who in his judgment is likely to command the confidence of the majority of the members of the House. So I think therein lies the authority to the Agong to use His Majesty's prerogative to pick a PM. But again, as I said, whoever is selected would again need to be endorsed by Parliament. And I don't know what he would need to do to get that endorsement. But by the time Parliament sits, perhaps the first business of the day would be a vote of confidence.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. That was Dato' Sri Mukesh Mahathir, Jerlun MP and President of Pejuang. We're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll come back and speak to some analysts for their take. So stay tuned to Consider This. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sherrod Kutton. Dr. Bridget Welsh joins us now. She's an honorary research assistant at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia's Asia Research Institute. Bridget, good evening. Thank you for being on the show. I'm just wondering, I mean, given everything that's happened in this past few days, taking into account all the meetings and the requests for a prime minister candidate to be submitted by tomorrow, do you see there being any shifts in the political ground? I'm wondering if the political positions are so entrenched that where the room for compromise might be.
Well, I think that the ruler has put more pressure on the politicians to actually respond and to reach compromises as the negotiations and considerations are taking place, as parties are holding meetings and coalitions are holding meetings this evening. You know, they have 18 hours before they will have to sort of reach some sort of consensus among themselves of how they will actually select different candidates. I think that there is a kind of recognition that there will need to be some movement from the kind of the clear blocks towards some sort of compromise position. But how and whether or not they decide to get there is going to be a real challenge, because I think there are going to be significant risks for democracy in Malaysia if there is an impasse, as in they aren't able to reach a situation of where there is one of the elected representatives is actually has a majority. And then of course, there's more discretion to make choices, and potentially people could turn to a national council, which in turn would actually weaken the power of Parliament, and of course weaken the power of ordinary Malaysians who are looking to their elected representatives for discussions. So it's the issue of Parliament is also, I think, very important, because if there is an impasse, that may be at risk, at least for a period of time.
But Bridget, you know, when Pakatan Harapan, ended, as it were, the faction that broke away from Bersatu very quickly cobbled together its coalition. Perhaps it already was in the making. This time around, with the UMNO pullout, we don't see that necessarily happening. Do you see any rifts in existing parties, in the existing blocs that you just mentioned, that could form potentially a new coalition, apart from UMNO, that's obviously the 15 UMNO that pulled out?
Well, I think that many of these political elites are looking for political security, right, for their party or for themselves. And I think that, you know, because the lines have been so entrenched and if for a long period of time now, in the last 17 months, I think that many of them are very resistant to move because they're concerned that that they don't know what the outcome is going to be. And so there's been a lot of people who are waiting to see. And it's not just about individuals sort of in their interests, but also who's going to be in the mix of different configurations, because those are also changing. So to answer you, yes, there is probably likely going to be some shifts, but they're happening very slowly in an environment where they're being forced to make those choices very quickly without adequate information. You know, this is very much elite politics that's happening behind closed doors. There's tremendous amount of rumors that are being, you know, in the press, different positions that are being articulated but as part of the media war as well. So I think, yes, we'll see some movement, but I think it is still very cautious out of the particular lines that they've traditionally held.
Well, on the note of decisions being made behind closed doors, Bridget, then how important is it to test the legitimacy of whoever is chosen prime minister? You know, we have 18 hours till the MPs have to submit their names, and then we're likely going to find out a name by the end of the week. But that's still 2 weeks till the September 6th sitting. And how important is it to quickly test the legitimacy of the name of the person who's been proposed as prime minister or has been picked as prime minister?
I've mentioned just now the importance of Parliament because it is the representative institution to the rakyat. But I also would say that, you know, any coalition, given the polarization of Malaysian politics, will have exclusion issues potentially. And of course, this means that some people will be unhappy. And as a consequence, you know, they need to have any new government would need as much legitimacy that it can have in order for it to be effective. You know, if your legitimacy is narrow just based on a selection process as opposed to a parliamentary legislator approval, then there is a chance, more chances that there's going to be responses from the public. And I think, and they come in with a deficit in terms of trust, which is a problem because in terms of dealing with a crisis, there needs to be as much trust and legitimacy as possible because it is already difficult times, and it will continue to be difficult times for at least in the short term, and maybe even the medium and longer term, because of the scope of this crisis that involves COVID-19, but also really the restructuring of the economy. So far, what we're hearing is the focus is almost exclusively on elites and elite interests, and the parliament is an important arena for conflict resolution and for representation.
Excellent points, Bridget. Thank you so much for speaking with us. A pleasure as always. Political analyst Dr. Bridget Welch there. We're going to take another quick break, but we will be back with more. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. University of Malay political analyst Dr. Hamidin Hamid joins us now. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Dr. Hamidin. Can I ask you what you thought about that meeting with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong and the party leaders? Because right after that, PKR President Anwar Ibrahim, he said that the Agong had urged politicians to unite, to forge what he called new politics. And I'm just wondering how you're interpreting this royal advice. I mean, what do you think the Agong is essentially calling for here?
I think, thank you, Melissa. I think what's important for today's audience with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, I'm looking from a couple of things. First, it will be interesting to note that this is the first time I think Agong meet all the party leaders at the same time. And obviously, I think for him to hold them, all of them at one time, because I think he want to convey I think the opinion of the palace, especially in regard to the style of politics that has been practiced in the country for quite some time, which, in my point of view, very much bring us to where we are today. So I think in that sense, I think I'm okay with that. Basically, he exercised his judgment as Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, telling or advising the political party to basically behave and to make sure that the interests of the country are well protected.
Midin, were you surprised by the presence of the deputy Agong? I don't believe the constitution has a role for him in this process, but there he was, the Sultan of Perak. Mm.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Surprising for me, when we look at how this current Agong conduct his affair as a Yang-Di-Pertuan Agong, he always consult in my opinion, other bodies of royals. For example, even during the darurat, the emergency, I think he called Majlis Raja-Raja to have a meeting. And now, I think he called Sultan of Perak, who is the deputy Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. So with that, in my point of view, it give kind of indication to the political party that royal house is very much concerned on what is happening in the country now.
Right. I mean, there's a lot that's been said about the different permutations of compromises, but we have to remember that some bad blood runs deep, runs long and deep. So can I ask you what you're hearing about the most likely permutations and compromises that, you know, while maybe less desirable, are acceptable options?
I think when look at current things, I think there is a couple of numbers that we can see. As you said, I think now basically certain group are looking that to work with lesser than two evil, I think, kind of approach. And I do believe, looking at things, the kingmaker to some extent is Perjuang, in my point of view. He wasn't there for, but still will create a big number. And looking at things, if PN managed to cut the court cluster, I think they can get Perjuang. This is the way I looking at matters now, because I doubt Perjuang will back Anwar Ibrahim as a prime minister.
So speaking of Anwar Ibrahim, Shafi Abdal has come up with a statement suggesting that together they have an understanding that all the parties constitute about their bloc is about 105, and that includes Perjuang. Yeah. And that whoever can get the bloc over the top with an extra 7 becomes prime minister. What do you make of that agreement?
I think that's a very good agreement for the PH. But that agreement should come much earlier. I think it's very much difficult for others than Anwar Ibrahim to make a move. For Shafi'i, for example, he have that maybe less than 48 hours. So if they make that kind of agreement earlier, I think then Shafi'i can have momentum to bring PH to the cross line of 111. But now I doubt, in my point of view, it seems that Ismail Sabri is a clear advantage to become the candidate for Perikatan Nasional. I suddenly, if you notice, Tengku Razali's names have disappeared for the past couple of hours. So I assume with that, we can see very much Ismail Sabri is taking the lead.
Right. So the MPs have to submit their choice by 4 p.m. tomorrow. So I'm sure there's a lot of mad scrambling tonight to discuss and negotiate and compromise. Is that a good thing that there is this ticking clock for 18 hours at this point in time, 18 hours till the deadline? Is that a good thing for MPs that pushes them to compromise and there's a little bit of desperation there? Or is that a bad thing? Would more time would have been preferable?
No, I think if you ask me, even for tomorrow 4 p.m. is too long in politics. I think that will create a lot more, in my point of view, instability in the future. I believe they already made their mind, in my point of view. What's happening now is very much to increase the price of the horses. I think, and that is not good, in my point of view. And then in the politic of things. So with that, I'm okay with tomorrow deadline. And I think the most important, in my point of view,
is how can they build a good coalition and the approach when they get the majority. I think I really want to look on that. I have in my mind who is going to win the vote, but for me the most important thing is their approach once they sit as a government.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Hamidin, for joining us on the show tonight. That was political analyst Dr. Hamidin Hamid wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing up for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.